But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler of Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Father, we ask you this morning on this day that we commemorate your birth, that you would just bring alive one more time the Christmas story in our lives. Teach us, speak to us, change our lives afresh and new, encourage our hearts, strengthen our steps to follow you all the days of our life. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Hey, let's give one more good clap offering today. Would you do that? Come on. All right, you can be seated today. We've talked about Mary and Joseph and their journey to Bethlehem from Nazareth. We talked about the shepherds. We talked about the wise men and their journey to Bethlehem. Today we're going to talk about the journey that Jesus took. And his journey was far older, far longer. In fact, our text today hints at his journey. And here's what it says, Micah 5:2. Says, whose coming forth is from what? From what? From ancient days. Now, understand that text, because it's speaking about Bethlehem, and we talked about all the other journeys, those that were going toward Bethlehem, how long it took them. It took the wise men probably months to get to Bethlehem. It took Mary and Joseph a number of days, maybe a couple weeks to get there. The shepherds a little bit shorter. But the longest journey of all was the journey that Jesus took to Bethlehem. Because his did not begin in that wintry time. His did not begin during that age. The Bible says his journey began from ancient days. He'd been heading toward Bethlehem for centuries. He had existed long before it ever happened. And I'll talk about that in just a minute, because his journey to Bethlehem began centuries before. It began from the day God created Adam and Eve and they fell. Then began his journey, even before then. The Bible says, before the foundations of the world were ever placed, Jesus was crucified in the mind of God. His journey to Bethlehem began of old, from ancient days. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. John chapter 1. I love the way that John does his Christmas story. Because Luke, we always read every year at our house, we read the story of Luke. At our staff Christmas party, we read the story of Luke and the story of Christmas. But I like the way others begin, because some begin with John the Baptist, some begin with Mary, and some begin with Joseph, and all and on. John begins his Christmas story this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And that's the beginning of his Christmas story. Because really, the Christmas story of Jesus began long before this world was ever created. In the mind and the heart of God, his journey to Bethlehem began of old, from ancient days. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and blood. That is the Christmas story wrapped up for John. The Word became, he begins in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, the Word was God. And verse 14, here's the Christmas story of Bethlehem. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Come on, somebody. Some of you live in some pretty rough neighborhoods. Physically, you live in some pretty rough neighborhoods. Some of you live in some pretty rough neighborhoods spiritually. Anger lives across the street, lust about three houses down, you can live, but let me tell you something, Jesus has moved into your neighborhood, come on. You can tell, fear can say, there goes the neighborhood, lust can say, there goes the neighborhood, because Jesus has moved into the neighborhood. I love the way that John writes, and he says, the Word became flesh, that's his Christmas story, and it happened in that day. The Word became flesh. Now, Jesus had been on his journey for a long time. And I like one time after his resurrection, he's walking. There's two men walking on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus comes up, and unbeknown to them, they didn't understand who it was. Here he begins to talk with them, and here's what he says to them. He said to them, O foolish one, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. How many would like a cassette tape of that or a CD of that? Or how many would like that to be live streamed across the internet? Because he took all those pictures in the Old Testament and he said, really, they're just shadows of me. He told all those stories. He said, they're really just pictures of me. Because my coming forth has been of old from ancient days. I've been heading toward this day for centuries. And all those things were just pictures of me. They were just shadows of the real thing that was about to come. And the Bible says when he came forth, he came in the nick of time. One translation says he came in the fullness of time, exactly when God was ready for him to come. But he'd been coming for a long time. He'd been coming forth from ancient days. You know, I love this. Here's a video. You've got to watch this. This is going to give you a headache. This is an artist drawing a video, and every one of these pictures is a picture of Jesus. And it's a picture of an Old Testament. What he does is he paints, and then he paints right on top of that picture. Then he paints right on top of that picture. Then he paints right on top of that picture, and he changes it, and it's sped up. So get ready for a headache. Go ahead and show this little video if you would. Today, we stand at the door of the manger and we gaze at the one who came from of old, from ancient of days. His traveling, his coming forth had been from old. He had been in every picture in the Old Testament. It was of Jesus. The book of Revelation is not John's book. It's the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. He stood on that road to Emmaus and he went through. There were 17 different pictures. Did you count? How many counted them? There were 17. My wife counted them right now. 17 different pictures. And that was just a drop in the bucket of all that's there. But let me tell you, I think we need to understand the Christmas story one more time afresh and new. You know, sometimes when you're growing up, I remember a little girl, she drew a picture. Her mom had to draw a picture of Christmas. And she looked and she saw Mary and Joseph on a plane. And she said, what's this? Why did you draw? She said, this is their flight into Egypt. Come on, somebody. And then she saw this mean. She looked at the pilot, and the pilot looked real mean. And she said, who is that? She said, that's Pontius Pilate. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we don't realize and understand the story completely, so we kind of get it all mixed up in our brains. But let me tell you, let's just start with a few things. Luke chapter 2 says this. It says, and while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her, everybody say firstborn. She gave birth to her firstborn son. And let me explain that a little bit, because I want you to get that. We think that means that was her first child, which it was, but that's not what the phrase really means. Because the word firstborn, he could have been her third baby and still been her firstborn in this concept. Let me give it to you. Number one is the word first has to do with not just in sequence, an order of time, and you know that it's first in line or first in sequence of time, but first has to do with importance. First has to do with a position or a place. It has to do with being the first. The first means that you're the most important. The first means in your position, you are number one. You, there may have been other people before you, but you are number one, on and on. And I like the way Jesus spoke about it in the book of Matthew one time. He very rarely talked about himself, but at points he had to. And he told them that even though I testify of myself, my testimony is true. And in Matthew, here's what he says. I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. They regarded the temple as the most greatest thing in their minds in Israel's history, in Israel's existence. They lived in little hamlets, and many of them lived in huts, and some of them lived in tents, and some of them lived in little adobe houses and brick. And when they came to the temple, it was one of the ancient wonders of the world. And Jesus stood, and these guys from Galilee that most of his disciples were, when they came to Jerusalem, it was like the country bob coming to the big city and seeing this magnificent temple that would change colors with the difference of the sun. It was an ancient wonder of the world. And Jesus stands there as the carpenter of Nazareth, who they didn't understand was he that had been coming forth from of old. He stood there and he said, let me tell you something. There is something here greater than the temple. Everybody say the first. Would you say the first? That means first is in importance. I like what else he said. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. But I'm going to tell you, there is one greater than Jonah standing right here. Because I'm the first. Look at another one. Look at this one. The queen of the south will rise up in judgment with this generation, condemn it. For she came to the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And I'm going to tell you something. There's somebody greater than Solomon standing right here. Because I am the, everybody say the first. I'm the first. And so the first means he was the first of everything. I like the way John the Baptist says it. John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me. John was 6 months older than Jesus. Is that right? When Mary found out she was pregnant, the angel said, your cousin Elizabeth is now pregnant 6 months with, and she goes and she meets Elizabeth. And John the Baptist is in terms of age, outranks Jesus. But that's just age. That's just sequence of time. Jesus has nothing to do with sequence of time. He comes and John the Baptist comes on and says, even though I outrank him in sequence of time, I'm 6 months older. I'm going to tell you something. In reality, he's way ahead of me. He says, I'm not even worthy to latch his sandals. He's so worthy. He's so higher than me. He ranks before me because he was what? He acknowledges and says, even though you think he was born 6 months after I was, the truth of the matter was he existed long before I ever existed. He's been coming forth from of old, from ancient times. His coming forth has been to Bethlehem from of old. I like the way he says it. He's first. I like in Colossians, Paul writes it. Says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the first, everybody say firstborn. Firstborn of all creation. How could that be? I'll talk about it in just a second. For by him all things were created. I thought he was born in Beth. No, no. His coming forth had been of old from ancient times. He's been coming forth a long time. I'll talk about it in just a second. He says, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. Visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is what? He is before all things, and in him all things hold it. He is before, he's number one. He's the first. Before him there was nothing. Before him there's absolutely nothing. So we use the word first. Everybody say first one more time, would you? Then the second word is born. And I've learned this. I've been to a woman's hospital a lot of times, sometimes for myself, for many times for other people. And you know what I've learned this. Born means this. Born means the manifestation of something which has already been in existence. That's what born means. When we go there and they hold that little baby, they say, look what just happened. It just happened. Everybody say no. You know what they say? Woo, been a long 9 months, but we got her done. The husbands say that. You know, they say a lot. No, the wife says that. And so what they do is being born means it's a manifestation into another realm, something that has already existed for 9 months. And so when Jesus was born, it doesn't mean he was just created. It meant that he had a manifestation into another realm of something that had already existed. And in the case of Jesus, you just don't go back 9 months. You go back to eternity past. And John says in 1:1, in the beginning, the same way that the book of Genesis says, in the beginning was God. Come on, somebody. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And see, born always has to do with a seed. And that's what the Bible sees the Word of God is a seed. And what happened was this. Jesus existed long before Bethlehem ever came to pass. He'd been living there. He stood before there was anything. And the Bible says everything that was came into being through him. Everything that was created was not only created through him, but for him. Can I get an amen? You know why? Because he's number one. He's foremost. He's first. Listen, the firstborn. And let me just list this. There's four times in the New Testament it says of Jesus, he was the firstborn. And I love the four times it says it. Because number one, we just read in the book of Luke, he was the firstborn son of Mary. Everybody say that. He was the firstborn son of Mary. Humanity is the apex of God's creation. We did not evolve from monkeys. We were the creation of God himself. And on top of the creative chain is human beings. God created man in his own likeness, the Bible says. And he always, always, always saves the best for last. In when God created the world, the Bible says the evening and the morning were the first day. God begins with the evening and ends up in the morning. He always goes from the worst to the best. He goes from darkness unto light. And the Bible says Adam was created first. And then there was a second Adam. And that was called Jesus Christ. And he became the second Adam because God always saves the best for last. The babe of Bethlehem is born following in the fullness of God. And 30 years later, he's face to face with the same tempter that the first Adam fell to, the darkness, the prince of darkness. And he goes through the same temptations that Adam, the first one, went through. But this Adam knows who he is. This Adam knows he's the firstborn of Mary. He knows who, and the Bible says when he talks to him, he begins to quote scripture to him over and over. And I love the way he walked through life. Because when he walked through life, this son of Adam, and he called himself the son of man, this son of man knew who he was. He would speak words. One time he went to a synagogue in Nazareth, and the Bible says they handed him the scroll of the book of Isaiah, and he began to read out of the book of Isaiah. And then when he finished, he closed the book, and he sat down, the Bible says. And if you know anything about a synagogue, every synagogue had a chair there in the front, where it was put aside for Elijah the prophet or the Messiah that was to come. And the Bible says this, he sat down and every eye fastened on him as if saying, who do you think you are sitting in the chair of Messiah? And the Bible says he looked at them because he knew who he was. And he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your eyes. Come on, somebody. He knew who he was. He was the firstborn son of Mary. The infinite had become finite. God had become a man. I like it because he used that word. He's a son of man. But he knew who he was, the firstborn. The second time it's used in the book of Colossians 1 and 15. It says, he is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of what? Let me tell you something about it. Remember what the word first and the word born means. First, not in sequence. Because the earth was made before he brought out into the world. The animals, the land, Adam, and all this creation, all that was born, was formed before him in sequence of time. But let me tell you, in terms of importance, the Bible says everything that was made by Jesus Christ. There's not one dust particle in your house that was not made by the Son of the living God. Everything, he brought Fido into existence. He brought all your houses. He brought the physical universe. He brought the spiritual universe. He created every angel there ever was. He created everything. And he's the firstborn of creation. All creation was made through him, for him, and it's going to go back to him one day. He put his signature. Let me tell you something else. When he made the worlds, the Bible says he backed up and he looked at it and he said, it is good. He made another part of the world and he backed up and said, it is good. He'd make another part of the world. He'd back up and he says, it is good. Read the book of Genesis 1. He'd make the sky, the heavens, and the sun, and he backed up and he says, it is good. Let me tell you why. Because he would make a creature one day. Not a dog, not a cat, not a monkey, not an elephant, not a lion. But he'd make a creature one day called man in his own image. That would stand on the seashores and look at the sapphire and the blue and the setting of the sun and see beyond the creation and know that there was a God that was good. And he would say, we see beyond the normal. We see beyond the created things. And we know there's a hand of God, the imprint of God in this place. And they would know. And you know why? Because he was the firstborn of all creation. He stood alone on the brow of a boat one day. And there was a storm and they were afraid of sinking and going down. They woke him up. Don't you care that we perish? He stood on the brow of the boat. And I believe with all my heart, in his heart, he was thinking, I remember when I brought you into existence, wind, peace be still. And the Bible says that storm quieted down like a baby. And the Bible says a man behind him says, what manner of man is this that speaks to even the storms and they calm down before? You know why? He's the firstborn of all creation. He brought that thing into existence. He created that thing. It bows before, come on somebody. It bows before him because he's the firstborn of creation. Look at number two. I don't know where I'm just skipping around, but go on to number two. I know I'm skipping here a little bit. He's the firstborn from the dead. Everybody say firstborn of the dead. Look at Colossians 1. It says, he is the head of the body, the church. He's beginning the firstborn from the what? Well, many had been raised from the dead before him. Lazarus had been raised from the dead. Jairus' daughter had been raised from the dead. In the Old Testament, they raised people from the dead. We're not talking about sequence of time. We're talking about importance. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's really the only one that ever been raised from the dead that would never die again. All the others raised from the dead. Lazarus did die a second time. But he was the firstborn that never died. He's the firstborn from the dead. It is importance in understanding. Hebrews says it this way. I like the way it says. Death could not hold him. It says, we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he should taste death for everyone. I'm going to tell you something about death. Christmas time, that's one of the loneliest times because many of us have lost loved ones this year. And you go through Christmas time and you may be sitting at a table this Christmas and you can look across the table and there's an empty chair there who last Christmas someone was sitting. But can I tell you something? Instead of seeing an empty chair, won't you see the firstborn of the dead sitting there in that chair? And won't you listen to him say, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Won't you listen to him say this? I know this. It may appear that he's gone right now, but he's not dead. He's living. He's not in your past. He's in your future. One day you will see them again. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I can know. Because he is the firstborn from the dead. Everybody say amen this morning, would you? Death, where's your sting? Death, where's your grave? Where's your victory? You know what? I understand this, that in life only we had belief. If in this life only, we'd be of most men miserable. But can I tell you, our hope is not only in this life, it's in a next life to come. And then the last one this morning is this. He's the firstborn of many brothers. Or many brothers. I like to say brethren from the old King James. He's the firstborn of many brothers. You know, he came on this earth to make, not only for himself, but he came on this earth to make a family. And there's many, he's told one time that his own literal physical mother and brothers and sisters were out trying to get him to come outside to talk to him one time. And he looked at that crowd and here's what he said to them. Who is my mother and who are my brothers and who are my sisters? He says, are not ye that believe the word of God? Can I tell you, he's the firstborn of many brothers in here. You have a brother that sticks, you have someone that sticks closer than a physical brother. You got a brother called the Lord Jesus Christ. I told this story one time. There was a story of a girl over in Russia during when the communists ruled and the KGB and the secret police. And they had an underground church. And one Christmas, she was going to a Christmas service. And the secret police caught her. And she was not going to lie, but she asked the Lord for wisdom to say. And they got her and they said, where are you going? And she thought a minute, and then the Holy Spirit spoke to her. Tell them that your older brother has died and you're going to hear the reading of the will. Come on, somebody. Your older brother has died, but they didn't know he's come back to life. Come on, somebody. He ever lives to provide what he promised he would give. He is yours. Listen, one day, listen, you are a child of the King. You're a daughter. You're a son. You're the firstborn. You know, one of the musicians, come on up. Would you come on up if you would. You know, one of the hardest things back when we had our kids was there was a day. Listen, there was a day when there was no internet. Did you know that? There was a day when there was no internet. And what you had to learn, when you bought a toy. When you're a parent. Here's what you learned real quickly. When that little box, there was a little box on the side of the box, whatever you were buying for your kids. There was a little box down there that said this, some assembly required. And that was a day when you couldn't go on the internet and look it up to see how to do it. Because they gave you this little thing inside the box called instructions. That's what it's called. It's called a paper thing called instructions. And you took it out of the box and then you had all these bags and little things of bolts and this. And it had a little paper and it said instructions. And then it was written by some Japanese that had been converted into English. And somebody that had never drawn in their life drew the instructions on, you know. And so what happened was that some assembly required, many times most parents would stay up to the wee hours of Christmas morning trying to get these things together. One fellow I read one time, he talked about, he said he got a tricycle. He said, how hard can a tricycle be to put a tricycle together? This is back in the 50s. And he said somewhere in the wee hours of the morning, about 15 parts left over that probably wasn't necessary. He said, I got the thing assembling that looks sort of like a tricycle. But he said, every time my son would ride it, it would make this squeaking noise. And it always had a tendency to lean to the right. And you know what? Long after we went by and got done with trying to put, having problem putting Christmas toys together, it came down to our lives, trying to put our lives together. And trying to fit them and trying to do it and trying to... There's nothing wrong with admitting that I can't put my life together. There's nothing wrong with admitting I can't get all the pieces together. I just about got them all, and I look over there and there's about 10 of them left over, screws and bolts and all this. You try to put your own life together and you end up to where you just end up with that, you know, whether it's in a marriage or you have this, you just can't get your life together. You almost do. And then you look over and there's parts missing. You know, it's Christmas time that we ought to bring the lights down. What are you going to do that last little video? Christmas time ought to be a time that we pause. Everybody say pause. We pause and we think, you know, this is Christmas. What's it about? More than the buying and the selling and swapping gifts and going and eating and partying and all that. Take a moment and pause and think, you know what? This is the birthday we celebrate of the firstborn. What? The firstborn from the dead, the firstborn of all creation, firstborn of many brethren, the firstborn son of Mary. And let me tell you something, he can put you back together like nobody else. But you've got to learn to pause. Kenny did this the other morning. I think Sally had sent this to him. Watch this little video called The Pause of Life. Watch this.
My mama told me something when I was growing up that has forever changed my life. She played the piano at our little church at 3rd and Pine Street for 37 years. She tried to teach me to play the piano, but I wasn't very good. She would teach me the names of the notes, what a major key is, what a minor key is. She tried to teach me musical theory, but I was just bored. Then, one day, she told me that the best news in the world is found by playing a simple scale on the piano. I had no idea what she meant, so she told me to play an 8-note scale. So I did. I said, how is that good news? And she said I played it incorrectly and that I needed to play it the other way. So I did. Again, I said, how is that good news? And she said, I played it the right way, but I needed to add the pauses. The pauses? She said, the pauses. Add them on the first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note. Now, I was frustrated and said, how can 8 notes with random pauses be the best news in the world? Then I got up, walked away, and went outside. Frankly, I didn't care what she was talking about. I didn't like playing the piano anyway. Well, years later, my mama got sick and passed away. As I was thinking about her, I remembered what she told me about the piano. Not only that, I still remember the notes she told me to pause. The first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note. So I sat down at her piano and played the scale with the pauses. And that's when I realized the good news she was talking about.
Aren't you guys going to stand on your feet? We're going to sing this song, Joy of the World. Come on, put your hands together. Sing it out.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
Joy to the earth.
Sing joy to the earth. The Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ. What fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
Come on, real loud, sing it out. He rules the world.
He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His.
All right, here we go. One more time. Let's sing verse 1. Joy to the world.
Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven nature sing.
Everybody, bow your heads, would you? Father, this Christmas service, we just thank You for being the first. Thank You for being born, but we understand You existed long before Bethlehem ever came. Thank You for not giving up on Your journey there, and Lord, and then Your journey with us. Lord, You took a long time to bring it to pass. It wasn't a quick thing in Your mind. It wasn't a quick thing just finished. It was a long time thought out. And so everybody in here this morning, I want you to think this through. Are you, you know, one of the keys, it says in the, when Jesus was 12 years old and they were leaving Jerusalem, it says they thought Jesus was with them, but 3 days later they found out He wasn't, had to go back to Jerusalem to find Him, found Him in the temple with all them. And they thought He was with them, but He wasn't. And I don't know what you think this morning, but maybe you think that He's with you. And I'd have to ask, won't you search, won't you pause? In this Christmas season, won't you take a pause? Won't you slow down? Get away just by yourself. Just get away. Get your husband, keep the kids, or maybe you slip out, Dad, you know, and or maybe you're a son or a daughter, you slip away. And I'm going to tell you something. God can do a miraculous thing. It's not some creed or something like that. It's the God of the universe invading your life and changing you. And it's not just some mental ascent. It changes you from the core of your being. You know that you know that you know. There's a knower inside of you. And when He's with you, you know it. You don't have to guess it. You know there's been a change. You're not perfect, but there's been a change in your life. There may be struggles and things you fight, but there's been a change in your life. Because that part of you that was dark becomes light. That spirit within you that's dead is brought to life. And then you feed it and you stay on the Word. You stay in fellowship. You seek Him. You pray. You worship Him. And all that. But this season, why don't you just take a break, a pause. And maybe you've been told lots of times, like this guy was with his mama telling the best news ever. And he never really discovered it until he paused in life. And then he saw it. When Moses turned aside, then he saw the burning bush. When he turned aside, God spoke to him. And this season, if you will slow down a little bit, because some of you are running so fast, slow down and pause. And say, God, you know, I've tried to put my life together, but I keep having these extra parts and missing pieces, and I just can't do it. I can't control my anger, my drinking, my lust, my fear, I can't control it. I need you to change me from the inside out. Change my heart, my desires, change me. He is in the business of doing that. He changed mine. He changed many of our lives in here, and we were just like you. Lost without Him in a world, thinking we were okay. But really, at the end of every Christmas season, mentally and emotionally and spiritually, I had all these parts left over. And I'd done my best to put it together. I'd done my best to put my life together, made the resolutions and commitments and the promises. Only a few months later to have all these pieces left over. And the fights were still there. The anger was still there. The threats were still there. The lust, the anger, all that stuff still there. Until you come to Him who's been coming for a long time. His coming forth had been of old from ancient days. He'd been coming for a long time. He knows what He's doing. He didn't appear yesterday. He wasn't born yesterday. He can take your life and change it. So this morning, Father, I want everybody to pray this. If you want God to change your life, if you want God to put you back together right, so there's no missing pieces and that it's put back together. Maybe your marriage needs it. Maybe your family needs it. Maybe you're a single person and you need God to do that. Maybe you're older or younger. It doesn't matter, but God is willing to do that. So won't you say this? Say, dear God, this morning I ask you to put my life back together. I have tried and tried, but I just can't do it. Put me back together. Thank you, Jesus, for coming a long time. Thank you for coming into this world to become my brother. Father, I ask you this morning, by the grace that you give, save me. I believe I'm a sinner. I've done wrong in my life. I ask you to forgive me. Change me. Would you cleanse me? Take away all the stains of my life. Would you help to erase all the things I've done wrong? Save me, God. Put me back together. Make me whole. I ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you for dying on a cross. Thank you for taking all my sins on you. Thank you for paying the price that I owed. And I receive this morning the forgiveness of my God in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Give the Lord a good clap offering, would you? Give me a key of G, I think it is. Do you know the old song, You Came From Heaven to Earth to Show the Way? It's sort of, kind of, maybe. I'll sing it. Let me have that microphone. You remember that old song that says, He came from heaven to earth? Let me turn this down. That's it. I'll try it. I'm a froggy this morning. We'll try it. He came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on. Help me sing it. Lord, I lift your name on high. Come on, do that today. Lord, I love to sing your praises. Praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. In my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Come on, you came. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name.
Sing it again. You came from heaven. Come on.
To show the way from the earth to the cross. my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Give a good clap offering. Come on. Merry Christmas. Turn around and give somebody a good high five if you would. God bless you. You guys have a great Christmas. The Lord be with you. We'll see you next Sunday.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul.